presenting Orson Welles as The Third Man. The Lives of Harry Lime. The fabulous stories of the immortal character, originally created in the motion picture The Third Man, with rhythm music by Anton Karas.
One late afternoon a couple of years ago, a plane was sighted about 70 miles out of the Orly Airport in Paris. It was a private plane, of medium size, and nobody was in it. Nobody at all. The plane, keeping its course steadily toward Paris, was flying itself. Why was it empty? Who had been flying it? And why and in what circumstances had they left it? Thereby hangs a tale.
And now, Orson Welles as Harry Lime, the Third Man, in today's story, Man of Mystery.
Yes, Harry Lime speaking.
One moment, please.
Hello? Hello?
Hey, this is Gregory Arcadian.
Yes?
I am at the Hotel de Capin en Suisse. Come and see me tonight. I have a job.
Well, I'm in Vienna. Well, there isn't a plane out of here until Saturday.
I am sending you mine.
Your what?
My private plane. This is Arcadian.
Oh?
Gregory Arcadian. You know who that is?
Yes, I think so.
You think you know who is Gregory Arcadian? My friend, that is wonderful, Uncle. More wonderful than you get. I'll see you soon, Mr. Lyon, yes? After dinner tonight.
Hello? 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 Oh.
Sure enough, just as the great Mr. Arcadian had willed it, there I was on that famous plane of his. And promptly after dinner, there I was at the Hotel de Cap, which is in Antibes, which is in the south of France. France is wonderful, and so is money.
Waiting to see my father.
Was your father Gregory Arcadian?
Yes.
Well, that's who I'm waiting for.
Mr. Lyme, I am completely in my father's confidence. We are extremely close. He told me everything, but he hasn't said a word about you. What is your business?
Oh, I dabble, Miss Arcadian. I dabble in a variety of sort of things.
I see. If you sit down, I'll tell my father your business.
I sat down like a good little boy on the edge of the chair. I lit a cigarette and crossed my legs and tried not to look impressed about the fact that I was going to meet Gregory Arcadian. But it wasn't any use. I wasn't even fooling myself.
There you are, Father.
Go in and amuse our guest, Raina. You are Mr. Lime, aren't you?
Yes, that's right.
I've heard many things about you, Mr. Lime.
I've heard many things about you, Mr. Arcadian.
What exactly have you heard about me? Go on, I have my reasons for asking.
Well, everybody knows you're one of the richest men in Europe, Mr. Arcadian. You're supposed to have big interests all the way from Denmark to Belgium, Congo, but you...
Well, for one thing, you've never been photographed.
I do not like to be photographed, Mr. Lyons.
Well, that's okay with me, Mr. Arkadyn.
I think you're starting to make fun of me.
No, I'm waiting for you to start making some sense, Mr. Arkadyn.
You are a crook, Mr. Lyons. You are a tough crook, not a little sneak thief. Tell me, did you ever hear of something called an intelligence check?
Intelligence check, yes, I think. But doesn't that mean some sort of check by an intelligence service in the army or something on a man's past?
No, it's not some sort of check. It is, as you would say, the full treatment. Well,
yes.
We are very thorough, army people from the intelligence service. They turn up the carpet. They look under the wall.
Which army is this, Mr. Arkadyn?
Well, exactly so where they should be
working. Oh, you? Man, I wouldn't know.
It's an allied operation. The U.S. Army must approve all contacts. And I understand, Mr. Lyons, that all bids are examined not only on their own merits, but also on the merits of a man's record in the past. This is their famous intelligence check.
Okay. Now you're beginning to make a little sense. You want the contract for building these bases. You're afraid of an investigation. So you want to hire me to help you cover up a few items that might not show up so nicely on your private file.
Telling me or asking me, Mr. Lyons?
I'm guessing.
Well, guess again.
No, let's play something else. How about Pachisi or Lotto?
I am not playing games, Lyons. I am hiring you for a double work.
A minute ago, Arkadyn, you called me a crook. It's a sense you've got a touch of larceny on the brain, or you wouldn't have called me in. What's the offer?
$10,000.
Tax for you.
You can have it in gold. Liechtenstein.
Well, that's a nice offer. I have to know who it is you want killed before I give you my final reply.
You are to kill nobody. You are to cover up nothing.
That's
you are
good.
To perform no illegal acts whatever. No, Mr. Lyons. I am not hiring your so easily adjustable conscience. I am buying you a knowledge of the continental underworld.
Oh.
That is all. I want you to make an investigation and prepare me a report.
What do you want to know about?
I want to know about me. You? Yes. It is on the subject of me I want you to make that report, Mr. Lyons. I want you to investigate.
Well, okay, Mr. Cotton, but just what is it you're afraid they'll find out?
I swear, Mr. Lyons, I wish I knew.
Well, there must be something you would be so worried, and I guess you figure if I can't smoke it out, the FBI isn't likely to either, but still, I...
Let me tell you a poetic little story.
Okay, old man, if you insist.
It is the winter of 27.
Oh, really?
I'm a young man, and the city is Lucerne. I have only the suit I was wearing and a wallet with 200,000 francs. Swiss francs. It was with that money that my present great fortune.
Yes. Well,
the stages, Mr. Lyme, the stages by which I erected myself into the position of one of the richest men in the world may be traced. They call me a man of mystery in the newspapers, but really all of that story can be pieced together and checked.
Yes, I'm sure, Mr.
The line. What happened before the winter?
What's it?
Where did I come from in my bodysuit? Who was my family? That's my real secret, Mr. Lyme. I don't know who I am.
So that was my assignment. Tell Mr. Arkadyn who he was. Yes, old Doc Harry Lyons was supposed to cure a slight case of amnesia, which had only been pestering the patient for the last 20 years. By the way, I could see that this little paper was going to be any kind of a cinch. Well, there was plenty of cash, you know, unlimited traveling expenses and all that. But as far as a cue or a clue to the facts about his own distant, mysterious past, Gregory Arkadyn was just about as helpful and as chatty as a clam. Now, look, Mr. Arkadyn.
Arkadyn.
Okay, Arkadyn. Pronounce your name out of it. Hey. Wait a minute. How do you know it's Arkadyn?
I know my own name.
Who says so?
I say so.
Who are you?
That's what I am paying you to find out, Mr. Arkadyn.
Exactly. So what makes you so sure about your name? Maybe it's really the name of a town. A candy bar you happen to be eating. Maybe it's the name of the man you murdered.
You think that's how I got to know, Mr. Arkadyn? I don't know.
Mr. Arkadyn, I do not know. I know the best way to begin finding out.
How's that?
Isn't it obvious, old man? By assuming the worst.
Mr. Gregory
Yakovlev,
it's Martin, Mr. Lyne, Mr. Harry Lyne, as you did.
Mr. Lyne?
Yes? Well, Mr. Lyne, what have you found out?
Well, I got in. How did you find out I was in Zurich?
I have an office in Zurich. Well?
Well, what?
You heard me. What have you found out? Who was I? Where did I come from? What,
You came from Warsaw. Warsaw.
That?
Well, I said you came from Warsaw. That's 27. I'm not sure where you came from originally, but your tailor thinks
what?
That, your tailor, the one who made your clothes when you first came to Zurich.
Who is that?
The one who owned the shop, not the cutter. You probably never noticed him. He remembers you, and what's more, he remembers the label in the first coat you were wearing.
What label? What did it say?
Yeah, well, he doesn't know. All he remembers is that the coat was made in Warsaw.
That
the coat
not?
Was made in... No, it's not much, but something.
Well, what are you going to do now? Can't get a successor.
No, but an awful lot of Poles left home since 27.
You mean refugees?
That's right.
But they went everywhere, all over the place.
That's right.
Well, where are you going now?
Well, I'm going to look up a few Poles.
But where?
That's what you said, Mr. Arcot. Everywhere.
Harry Lyme returns in just a moment. Now, Orson Welles, as Harry Lyme, the third man, continues in today's story, Man of Mystery.
And now, here I am in Paris, in Maxine. I'll spare you all the sordid details. What that is now is that my dinner companion is a vendeuse at a couturier's, which means her profession is helping Jacques sell all those dresses of his. She is Polish. This dinner companion of mine, a refugee. And this is partly because I am closing in on that section of the population, and she is also a very classy dish indeed. That section I'm closing in on. The name is Baroness Nagel. And by this time, we're leading across the empty coffee cups, making eyes at each other.
I'm enjoying myself, you know. I didn't think I would.
Go ahead, Joyce, if all you want to. I'm on an expense account. Do you mind if I ask you a rather personal question?
No,
Baroness?
I don't think so.
I'd like you to tell me something about the criminal underworld of Warsaw.
For a couple of years, Mr. Lyon, and only because my family needed the money very much.
Yes,
I was attached to the Warsaw
police.
I think I was helpful. But the truth is, I was only used on one case. There's a sort of wooden duck. How do you call it? A decoy. There were several of us, all working to break up the gang of a certain criminal called Sophie.
Sophie, yes.
It was all frightfully sordid.
Yes,
one isn't a brute, but still one was glad actually to be useful in breaking it up. It was a pity the leader was never caught.
So the leader, Sophie, never got away. What was her full name, Sophie?
Does it really matter?
Well, it might, yes, quite a lot.
She's been married to...
Well, do you know the man's name?
I will look it up for you. Apparently, she is very respectable now and has nothing to fear.
Well, I thought they were very strict about people with criminal records in Argentina.
Yes, not Argentina.
No?
Not Brazil, Mr. Lyme.
No?
And do not imagine you can trap me so easily.
You know what? I'll bet you a couple of $100 I can trap you, Baroness.
Let's make it $500. That's more sporting.
$500? Well, $300. That's sporting enough. I'll write the address of this lady, Sophie, on the back of this menu. And you write your version of it on yours.
Okay.
Well, I've written my guess. Smith, I don't suppose it's right. Let's see how I did. Smith. Well, show me what you wrote.
I would like to see, first of all, his tapes.
Mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3. And now let's see what you wrote. Hmm? Thanks. Another Carlo Martini, 77 Avenue, a little bit tired with Anna Cube. Well, you win, Baroness. I did come within a mile of it. The next day, I was on my way to Cuba. And a little time after that, I was in my room in the hotel in Havana. It was after midnight.
Yes?
There's a man asking me, Don. This is a starting
feeling. Okay.
Hello?
Hello?
How are you coming,
Don? Oh, fine. I couldn't be better, Mr. Arcadis. Got the goods on you.
What?
Well, the dirt. All of it. That's what you wanted, wasn't it?
How do you mean dirt?
Well, I know all about before 27.
What?
Before 1927. I know what you were up to in Warsaw.
In Warsaw? Can you prove it?
Of course.
What's your room number?
Maybe you didn't understand. I'm in Havana.
So am I.
I said Havana.
I heard you. What's your number?
208.
I'll be right down.
Hello, line?
Well, Mr. Arcadin, this is a coincidence. What are you doing in Havana, Mr. Arcadin?
I had some business to attend to. What's your news?
I'm just writing out a full report, but if you like, I can boil it down to the essentials.
Boil it down.
Sophie Wyszynski is living. She's married money, married bigamously, and her real husband, a character known as Oscar, is blackmailing her.
What's up?
And Oscar's a hophead. He takes heroin in large doses.
What's that got to
well,
do
I
with
managed
me?
To lock Oscar away for a few days in a shack outside of town. I didn't give him any chance, and after a while he started talking. He talked quite a lot, Mr. Arcadin, and it's all going down in the report.
Never mind the report. What did he say?
Well, okay, I'll give it to you. If you're asking, there were 7 members operating in the gang headed in Warsaw by Sophie Wyszynski. 3 of them are dead. 2, Andre Bloch and Jacob Hescheries, are behind the Iron Curtain. Oscar, I've told you about. Well, that leaves one more. His name was Akin Athabadze. And
in, well?
Well, in 1927, Athabadze absconded with some of the loot of the gang. The gang never found him, but I have another source, and I'll tell you about that later. But I managed to trace Mr. Athabadze to Zurich, where he changed his name. Does that mean anything to you?
Why should it?
I suppose I should tell you that the name he took was Arcadin. Gregory Arcadin.
You'd have to prove it.
I can.
You're positive?
Positive.
You spoke of sources. Who are they?
Well, it's very involved, Mr. Arcadin. I'm tired. I'd rather put the whole thing down in an orderly way in my report.
And right? When will that be?
Well, I'm leaving Cuba tomorrow, and then I'll have all the facts assembled in Paris, and I'll put it down by the end of the week and give it to
you. I see. I hope you're mistaken, Mr. Lyne. It would be a terrible thing if what you tell me is true.
I'm not mistaken.
Well, whatever happens, say nothing of this to my daughter. Absolutely nothing. Do I have your word on that?
Of course.
I wonder if you could possibly guess what an awful thing it is. To have only a conscience. A conscience. And no memory at all.
Two days later, I was in France. Raina phoned me at my hotel, and I took her to dinner. She tried to draw me out, but I wasn't having any of that. I'd given Arcadin a promise, and no matter what he'd been or what I was, that was one promise that was going to be kept.
I wish you weren't so mysterious about everything, Harry. You see, I know about the airports. There's to be 3 of them in Portugal. It means a great deal of money for whoever gets the contract.
Yes, that's where the intelligence check business comes. You know, I don't even think he knows what an intelligence check is.
He's heard people talking about it, you know, army people and others. And
yeah.
And it worries me. Remember, he's a Russian.
Yes.
And that means
hey.
He grew up with an almost superstitious fear of all secret police.
Just a second. How do you know he's Russian?
Well, I am his daughter.
Yes, but he doesn't know himself where he was born. What are you laughing at?
Is that what he told you, that he didn't know where he was born?
You mean he was lying?
Oh, he can't help it, Harry. He lies to everybody. It's his nature.
Oh, well, what about this amnesia?
that music?
Well, 1927, your father found himself in Zurich with his pocket full of money and no memory at all. He didn't know where he came from or who he was or where he got the money. Now,
wait a minute. You mean the whole thing was a lie?
I never heard of amnesia lasted that long. More than 20 years. Except in cheap books and bad movies. Oh, Harry, you should have known better than to believe that.
So he'd been lying. Lying all the time. He knew his past. As well as I knew my own. And just as I was absorbing that, the news came from Cuba. A friend in Havana sent it to me, a clipping from one of the newspapers. Said he thought I'd be interested. Well, I was. It seems that Signor Oscar Trebich and Signora Martini, formerly Sophie Wyszynski of Poland, had been found together in a ditch in a suburb of Havana. Both were dead. They had been strangled.
When you were working for her as a white slaver and dope smuggler, Oscar was her husband. They were found dead in a ditch, Mr. Arcado. In a ditch near Havana. They'd been strangled.
What about it?
Well, I know why you did it. You...
Lime, listen to me. I'm paying you money. Big money. I'll even raise the sum. I'll see you in Paris.
No, I'd rather not see you, Mr. Arcado. I'd rather not be strangled and left in a ditch.
Well, then, what do you propose?
Well, I propose to tell your story, Mr. Arcadi. The whole story. Remember, I have the proof.
We'll see about your proofs. I'm an important man, Lyme. Not a little crook like you. Nobody believes you.
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Arcadi. I'm really very sorry. But I've already found somebody who does believe me.
Who? Who believes you? Nobody that matters. You forget who I am.
You're the father of Raina, Mr. Arcadio. I told you I was sorry, but I have to save my life.
You mean you told Raina?
Yes, Mr. Arcadio.
And she believed you?
Everything. Everything except the murder of Sophie and Oscar. She thinks it may not have been you who did that, and of course I can't prove that it was, but... If I should be killed now, Mr. Arkadin, that would be proof enough, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it, Mr. Arkadin?
Harry Lime returns in just a moment.
He must have set the controls before he jumped out. But why? Why did he jump instead of crashing? I think because he wanted Raina to know it wasn't accidental. Because he wanted her to realize that rather than face her, knowing she knew about him, he preferred to die. But, of course, that's only a theory. There wasn't any note in the plane, just the portfolio, the famous dispatch case he always traveled with, filled with all the great affairs of the world. Now we can only guess. Gregory Arcot and remained, even to the last, a man of mystery.
Thank you.